One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for tuning back in. Thanks for telling a friend about our show. And welcome.
Who told a friend?
Oh, I just, that's wishful thinking.
Okay.
And you're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. That's Dave Callens.
Hey.
And that's Robert Timothy.
I'm the friend that was told.
All right. You don't have any friends.
No. I was the friend. You told me.
Outside of this room, you don't have any friends. Okay.
So I got into something this week that I haven't been in years, and I'm kind of excited about it. I got me
Was it a threesome?
No.
He's been in those a lot. And all of those guys walk out satisfied.
I'm like, wait a minute, this can't end in a compliment for me. That's never happened. I'm like, there's no way. There's got to be a vig.
What are we, a group of chicks? You compliment fishing? What the fuck?
No, I got me a comedy feud going. I haven't been in one of those in literally years.
Bullshit. Like, you're in those all the time.
I feel like that's your gig. I feel like you're Ryan the comedy
feud
guy.
Yeah, that's your angle. You're a heel in the comedy
scene. I piss someone off. Yes.
You totally are.
I'm like Jake the Snake Roberts, only with more crack cocaine problems. Yeah, I just go on stage and just badmouth everyone. Fuck you. And fuck this crowd. Everyone starts booing. I just start flipping them all the finger. Hold my title belt high above my head.
And yet you still have a following. It's so strange.
I know.
Yeah, Ryan, we got to change your attitude toward other comedians. We got to push everybody into a good safe zone. We're all friends here. We're all trying to do the same thing. We're all on the same team. This is San Diego comedy.
No.
San Diego comedy is crabs in a bucket. We're not on the same team.
No, it isn't. It is not. You don't perpetuate that myth. There's a bunch of people who do nothing but support and help each other, and you don't need to. There's a couple bad eggs in that basket. You don't need
Let
to make
Let me ask you a question. How drunk are you right now, Bobby?
I am
to come
super.
Up with this shit?
I am super high and really feeling the love here.
Okay,
he's on a
Bobby.
Bunch
Bobby,
of
Bobby, pipe down for a sec. Here's the thing. Now, I don't have like a ton of feuds. I do occasionally rub someone the wrong way, and understandably so. It's because my humor that I put up online is ranting, which is I don't like this, I don't like that, and I get it that people can eventually become
What's
sick.
What's the deal
of
with airplane food?
Right. Airplanes be taking a long time to take off. What up with that?
Whoa. No wonder you get into feuds, you racist bastard.
McDonald's used to taste a lot better. Now it tastes different. What up with that?
The character's working on.
Are you just redoing scenes from the 2008 movie Soul Plane?
Yeah.
It's actually a funny movie, by the way.
A great movie.
Bobby be interrupting my bits. What up with that? Anyway, when you are a ranting comedian, you do tend to rub people the wrong way more often than most, because nobody likes it when someone starts every sentence with, I hate it when, or like, I fucking, it bothers me that, you know, people can start off by going, ha, that's funny. But by, you know, by the fourth one, they're like, oh, fucking everything with this guy. And like, I think people are just waiting for me to run out of things to be angry with. They're like, they're hoping that someday I'll just have covered everything. And I'll be like, I fucking... Pelicans, Burger King, char broil, and never got.
I think most people are just under the impression that you really need a hug.
Yeah.
Like that would just solve so many problems.
I think it's that people try and hug me is the problem. And that really is off-putting. So, you know, I do have to, like, watch my wording when I put up my rants and things like that so that I don't start everything way I hate it when.
Oh, you have to give trigger warnings.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Because, honestly, like, I think that that some comedians in the past have thought, like, oh, this guy's negative. This guy's just negative. When they don't understand, like, that's just the way I style my jokes. I don't have anything about, like, isn't it great? When I have
you're
nothing.
Like Lewis Black, like it's he's not facade. Actually that mad all the time. He's just doing his bit.
Exactly. Like three things will bother me in a week, but that's all you hear from me about, you know, because I'm not just the rest of the time like, hey, my girlfriend's really pretty. hey, I just saw a puppy, you know. I'm like, guys,
look at the page I made on Pinterest.
By the way, I like how his two options are enraged or bragging about his girlfriend. There's no in between of just like appreciating life and enjoying your spot in this big universe that we all live in.
Oh. Well, okay.
The anger.
So I do like this, though. is we are living in a time where I made this analogy just the other day, is if you sneeze on someone's sandwich and they start to say something to you about it, like, excuse me, you get to go, I don't appreciate your negativity, sir. This Quiznos is a drama-free zone, so you're not allowed – people are allowed to shit on you all you want, but if you ever make a spectacle about how pissed off you are about it, you're the bully. You're the problem. So that's the problem with comedy feuds, is you can't win them without being a bully. Whoever wins ultimately is the one who is negative or
mean. I think Obama is on your side. Bobby, didn't Obama just give a speech at a college where he basically told college students they're all a bunch of pussies?
He did tell them that they should listen to different views. And
he told them a bunch of pussies.
Same
yes.
thing.
Yeah. Stop being a pussy. Take some criticism.
You heard Obama.
I did. That was a spot on Obama impression.
Where did he come from? Texas all of a sudden?
Why am I from Texas? I'm from Orange County, California.
You just did a Texas accent. Hey, this is my Obama. This is how we do things.
His Obama is Eric Knowles' Bush.
Welcome to Chicago.
Yeah. All right. So anyways, you had a feud.
Yeah. And you know what? The thing is about I was kind of waiting because I hadn't been in an honest to goodness comedy feud in years. And like I watch all these people having them around me. I'm like, when's my turn? When's someone going to come at me?
I'm like, when's my big break?
This seems fun. Like, also,
that's why he said he just does the rants as a bit, but he's baiting people.
I'm baiting people. Like,
who's going to take the bait? Who's going to come at me, bros?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. I see all these people and they're like, you know, going out online. There's some good barbs going back and forth. I'm like, I wish I could participate, but no one said anything mean about me. Anytime you say that, like, you know, some comics have rubbed the wrong way, it really isn't a feud. Like, you know, one person will email me and be like, hey, man, I really didn't appreciate it. And I'll go, oh, I'm sorry. And that'll be that. But, you know, like a real fucking knockdown, drag out war of words where people are threatening to fight each other. I hadn't been in that in so long.
So you actually, I was not aware your feud was this extreme. I just heard you had a few words with a San Diego comedian. I didn't realize it was a knockdown, drag out.
Well,
that's what he was looking forward to. He wanted
that. That's what I'm saying. Now, by the way, comedian, you're using that very loosely with this guy. The thing is with this guy, I'm not going to mention who he is, but honestly, like, anytime I've ever had a conversation with another comic, like, okay, who are the worst in town? He's never number one, but he's always in the top 3 to 5. Right. He always makes the list. He's an open micer. So anyway, I basically, how it started is I went online. Maybe I should have said anything. I'll cop to that. But there was this nutcase of a woman that, like, just was spamming me, and okay, I blocked her.
She's crazy. I know who you're talking about.
She's a nut bar.
Yes.
And I basically went and said in a comedian's forum, hey, I tried to give this lady a second chance. She spammed me with psychobabble. Just to let you know, if anyone's thinking maybe you give her a second chance, know my thinking, the lady's still a turd. That was it. And a bunch of people said, like, chime in, like, yeah, I agree. So, and all of a sudden, out of fucking nowhere, this guy's like, this unintelligence is infuriating. This guy's an idiot for
great term, yeah. Unintelligence.
Yeah, exactly. I like how someone can call me stupid and use not a word. So, so my unintelligence was infuriating, and you know, I basically said, "Are you saying I shouldn't be name calling while you're name calling?" I don't understand. And then he started doing a thing where he wasn't responding to me. He was responding to other people who were sticking up for me. Like, no, he's not shit talking. He's just warning us that no, he is. He's an idiot. And I'm like, so I'm like, well, here's that feud I've been thinking about. So I decided I had never made a meme before. Never once in my entire life. I didn't know how.
Cross that off the bucket list.
I believe you made a meme of me last week, by the way.
This was after. This was after.
That was a brilliant meme, by the way.
Thank you.
This was after that.
Okay.
This is pathetic. I had to go on YouTube and look up a tutorial on how to make a meme.
Oh, my. Are you serious?
I'm not good with computers. I'm not. So, they're like, oh, you could download an app. I'm like, all right, now how do I use the app? But once I figured it out, I was off to the races. I decided to, like, just make a series of this guy. Just an all true things. Like,
now, was there ever a part of you that was like, all right, I should just let this be. I shouldn't go so far as the memes. I understand what he's saying. A bunch of other people are sticking up for me. Let's let them hash it out, and then I'll just stick back and watch this go on.
No. Yes.
All right.
Because honestly, the first thing he said, I kind of just called it out, like, hey, you're saying I shouldn't call people names. and in the same sentence, you're calling me unintelligent.
Right.
So, but also, there was another factor in that, like, what is this forum for if not for at least warning people about people to maybe not work with?
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I get – from his perspective, I totally get that. That is, I think –
but there were other people saying, like, yeah, hey, there's nothing wrong with this post.
Yeah. And he was – you know, the more people would say something about me, the shittier he would be about me.
So there was an escalation.
Yes, there was an escalation. And he never once responded to me. I was like – you know, I was like, are you seriously saying this? And then someone else would say something like, no, this guy's an idiot. So, you know, finally, I was like, that's it. And I had a few beers. And I just blow him up on Twitter, Instagram.
So he got on his internet machine, called his nephew and said, hey, how do I work YouTube?
My nephew doesn't
I need
talk
to figure
to
out how to make a meme. Like, yeah. I'm stuck on you using YouTube to figure out how to make a meme. That's my favorite part of this whole thing.
I don't know how to do anything.
I'm never going to look at you the same. You're always going to be the guy who had to YouTube how to make a meme.
I YouTubed how to download the app for the meme. The app was very
That's
selfish.
Worse.
What is app?
How Babby is born.
I'm like in the kitchen, like stressing out to Aaron. I'm like, they said I have to go get appetizers. I don't know if I'm supposed to go to
Chili's.
Where's
the closest Fridays, babe?
Applebee's? I guess it has it in the name. That would probably be my best bet, right?
I am just asking this line of questioning, playing devil's advocate here.
Sure.
Because I'm like very much adverse to conflict online, which is weird because mm-hmm. I always say stupid comments that get me in trouble in person just because I think, why not? It's funny. You're comedians. Yeah. We can all talk shit. And then when you're in person, you can kind of shake a person's hand and walk away and everything's fine.
Yeah.
But online, I'm super cognizant of the fact that sarcasm doesn't carry. People take things too offensively. People get big puff chested when they're behind their keyboard, when they're not going to do that when they're in person.
And that's how this guy is, very much so.
And so I always figured if you just do it in person, you can talk to somebody, you can joke around, fuck around with them. They can tell from your mannerisms and stuff that you're fucking around. It doesn't lead to stuff. But online, man, I feel like I am the scared suburban father driver of people online. Like, I don't want to start shit online. Fuck this.
Well, I didn't.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate and say that was a great point, Bobby.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Ryan.
Hey,
he's making a meme of us right now.
He's googling how to.
Supposed to be accentuating my points, instead shits on it.
So in that vein, when you were getting into this, when you were starting this up, was there a moment where you're like, pump the brakes, I should double check and make sure this is a valid thing? Or were you like, three beers to the wind, fuck it, I'm going after
three
it.
Beers? Thank you for insinuating I don't have such a crippling alcohol problem.
Right.
And it takes three beers. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, again, yes, at first. When I gave him a little chance to be like, you sure you want to do this with me? Are you sure? I mean, are you sure you want to do this either online or in person or anywhere in your life where you want to, where you, someone who is so incredibly bad at what they do and has so much to say about them? I'm not saying that I'm awesome, but I'm certainly better than that jackass.
So you're saying you gave him an out before you went blitzkrieg. Okay. Now taking up from there, after you give him the out, he doesn't take it. You go blitzkrieg. What happens?
I just blow him up. I made a series. First of all, he's a DJ.
Okay.
And by the way,
as in he was the youngest child on the Roseanne sitcom?
Yes, that's him.
Okay.
So he has like all of his profile pics are like, I don't know. He's supposed to I'm thinking he might have wanted these to be promo pics if he was performing at a club. So he's got like a sparkly hoodie on and like silly ironic glasses. And so I just took that picture and I just started saying true things about him because nothing hurts more than the truth. I can say to someone, hey, you fuck your mother. But they're like, yeah, that's just an insult. It doesn't mean anything to me. I just started saying things that I've seen him do, which is like plays an open mic in Orange County, tells chicks he's on tour. bombs on stage, blames audience. You've seen him do that.
So you, wait, Lynn, are you saying that you've gone, like you've done shows with him?
Yes.
You've worked with him before?
Yes.
Okay.
I've,
so this isn't a completely online relationship.
No,
at this point.
No. I've seen him perform many times because he used to run an open mic in town.
Okay.
And he was uncomfortably bad. And then, you know,
actually the root of all this is they had a DJ showdown years ago and Ryan Shores lost miserably.
I had to go on YouTube and find out how to use a turntable. I was at a marked disadvantage.
So what did this escalate to?
Pretty much nothing. I basically said, hey, you want to talk in person? ignored. So
he posted several memes, like he said, and then he said, you done now?
Yeah. You done?
Yeah.
And then basically he turned it around into the kicked puppy routine, which is everyone, Ryan's making fun of me and I didn't do anything. And then so that turned around to, dude, why are you bullying him, man? I'm like, no, why am I? He fucking started it. So, like, you know, that's why I get very fucking pissed off when anybody doesn't know the situation, but only sees that someone's winning and says, you're a bully. And it also goes, one person went as far as to say, you started it. And I'm like, do you know how it started? No. Then where are you coming from with that? So, you know, so yeah, did I take it too far? Absolutely. I admit that I was
good admitting.
Here's the bookends to that, by the way, as well. This person, he appears on the forums infrequently. Usually when he does, it's to chastise someone for being negative.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, keep this. That's not what this forum is for. You're not supposed to be negative. Where, I mean, realistically, if you get 700 people who think they're comics in a group, there's going to be some shit talking.
Right.
So it's an unrealistic expectation, I think, on his part. Now, at the end of it, he went with the nuclear option, kicked Ryan out of the group. Yeah. And then had one final say after kicking Ryan out of the group.
Yeah. So he kept going after I was out. And then someone tried to stick up for me, and he kept going more.
Wow.
Calling me an oblivious liar. I have mental problems, all this thing.
Well, I mean, that's true.
So honestly, he kept running his mouth. And now I know that I can't defend myself because then I'm the bully.
Well, also because you got kicked out of the group.
Yeah, you can't literally cannot do it. No, he YouTubed how to get back in.
I can go on. You know, I can find him in person.
He made a fake profile. Now he's selling Ray-Bans on the side.
Yeah. I love those. You know, those fake profiles with the chicks with huge boobs and bikinis?
Uh-huh.
How many lonely guys have been super disappointed by the, like, oh my God, this huge-breasted model's friend requesting me. Now she's sending me a private message. Be sure to drink your Ovaltine, son of a bitch.
I love when the hot chick picture has like a guy's name on the profile. I'm like, that doesn't clue you in, really?
It's going back on hot chicks. It's screwing them over because now every time I see a friend request from a hot chick, I don't even look at it. I'm like, no, get out of here.
Deny.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm sure that like no one trusts my girlfriend's profile anymore. Like Ray-Ban salesman.
Well, that's an interesting thing. This is something I've always also been cognizant of. One of the other reasons I don't want to start internet feuds is, you know, you're an accomplished martial artist. I am somewhat as well. Mm-hmm. Also a larger. I'm 6'1", 200 pounds. I do feel cognizant of making sure I don't come off like a bully. Like if I'm going to get into a comedy feud with somebody, I want to make sure that it's on the ground when it starts out. This is just a comedy feud. Like I'm not going to go up and sucker punch you at some point if this comes into a war of words. And I think that is a difference because, I mean, imagine if there's a dude who – and I don't know the physicality of this person, but imagine if there's a dude who's 118 pounds.
Yeah.
He's like a tiny little dude and, oh, shit, I got into a war with Ryan Shores.
That's
who
about
used to be
what
an
happened.
MMA fighter. Like I don't want this to turn violent, so maybe that's why he's avoiding that, because he doesn't want it to be turn into a physical confrontation.
That's very smart of him, but at the same time, that's why I gave him the, are you sure you want to do this?
Okay.
Like, you know, and he's got internet muscles, as many people do, and those infuriate me, because everyone is fucking Macho Man Randy Savage.
Right.
He's dead, by the way.
Thank you. You know what your wrestling name is? Captain Bringdown.
My finishing move is the Dream Crusher.
No, your finishing move is the Debbie Downer. It's off the top ropes.
So did you leave it? Did you leave it that open ended?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just stopped saying anything because I didn't want a bunch of people going, I don't appreciate your negativity. I'm like, oh, fuck it. All right. If someone's allowed to be a little cunt to you, and then everyone else goes, no, you're not allowed to say anything back.
I think you're allowed to say whatever
you
want back, as long as you don't threaten physical violence. I think that is the line.
I never threatened physical violence.
As long as it comes to the point where you guys are just bullshitting back and forth or insulting one another, but it never comes to the fact where you use your advantage of being somebody who in a physical altercation would win.
Right.
As long as you don't use that to kind of like silence a person, then I think it's all fair game.
Exactly. And I never did that. I did point out, I did make a meme like, talk shit on the internet would refuse to fight someone in person. I wasn't saying I was going to beat him up. I was just saying he's a coward and always has been.
And it is, I mean, it is fucking annoying when someone continually chastises a group of people mm-hmm. and is like, oh, play nice, you guys, play nice.
Right, like, but I can see that because that, to be fair, to again, to
at the same time insulting them.
Now, that part I don't see. That is the dumb part. But to pay devil's advocate, on those forums, I don't want it to be a high school bitch fest.
You know Al Pacino.
I'm looking there. I'm looking in those things to see what the shows are coming up or what's going on in the community. I don't want it to be a bitch fest. Now,
so
I don't
skip
think
those posts.
I don't
You're
think,
a grown up.
I don't think what Ryan did was a bitch fest. I think informing a bunch of people of something that's bad that's going on in the community is a valid reason to use that. In fact, it's one of the valid reasons to use that page.
I have never gone on and any type of web forum and said, hey, everyone, this so-and-so sucks at comedy. Oh, and so-and-so is like, you know, like their material's dated. I've never said any of that, you know, and I've never just said, I don't like this person. I'm going to beat him up. You know, the only times I've said anything that was negative is if I'm like, hey, this guy stole some jokes, or hey, this person will spam you and, you know, hijack your post to promote their weird energy drink or whatever the fuck she was doing. So, you know, it's there's a reason I do it. Now, do I have to? No, I'm not the comedy
police.
He's
not the hero we want. He's the hero we need.
Some would call me a hero. Others would call me a douchebag and negative. So anyway, I stopped talking online because I got the, you know, a friend actually hit me up and said, hey man, you're coming off real bad. And I understood that. And I took a step back and realized, yeah, I'm sinking to this guy's level. This guy's a troll, and I let him make me into a troll with him, and I shouldn't have done that. At the same time, it is very infuriating, and they all know it. Any troll knows that hiding behind a computer screen, giving advice on topics you don't know shit about, and ultimately calling people out, where if you said that to someone's face, you'd get your teeth knocked out, that once they have their little internet machine, they're a badass, and they're a genius, and they're an expert, and any troll knows that that's infuriating, and that's why they do it.
For the record, you should be able to say whatever you want to somebody without getting your teeth knocked out. But yeah, I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, but that's not how the
world
works.
What if the thing you want to say is, I dare you to knock my teeth out?
Well, then there you go.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of moving on from something negative into something positive,
negative.
How about that kid who made the bomb clock?
Oh yeah, dude. As I understand it, this clock salesman was moonlighting as a terrorist and tried to cause earthquakes in a chili factory. I'm not sure. I think Emperor Trump had to step in. I'm not sure.
Well, basically, it was a young 14-year-old kid who built a clock. He's a real creative, inventive kid. Brought it to school, showed his teacher. I think the first teacher was like, "Way to go, good job, but don't show that to anybody else because they're gonna flip out on you." Muhammad, you were unfortunately named for building clocks right now. And then he eventually...
You're going to wish you were a hat builder.
Right. And then a teacher called the cops, and the cops came. And even though they knew it was a clock, and they've confirmed now they knew it was a clock, they arrested him or handcuffed him anyway. And it was a whole big thing. And man, do I feel sorry for that poor kid. Everybody's been expressing the same thing, so it's not like this is anything new or original. But Jesus Christ, to be that level of... trying to overachieve and trying to like prove that you can do these really neat things that are related to academia, and then
not only was his name Muhammad, he lives in Texas, so he's really behind the eight ball as far as that goes. There were different levels to the story when it broke for me, because at first it was like, oh, this kid made a thing that looked like a bomb, everyone freaked out and they arrested him. Then I found out that they didn't think it was a bomb.
Right.
They accused him of making a fake bomb, like a hoax bomb, and then they arrested him, which is even dumber to me.
I didn't see any of this because I was online on YouTube trying to learn how to make a GIF.
It's actually supposed to be pronounced GIF.
Whatever. They didn't explain that in the tutorial, so fuck you.
But yeah, I made the mistake of clicking on a conservative website link about this kid the other day.
Well done.
I couldn't get past the first paragraph where the author of this article said that racism against Muslims is, quote, mythic.
Well,
does
first of all,
not exist.
Maybe Muslim, meant a mythic
purpose. Muslim, not a race.
It's true.
So well done there.
Yeah.
Secondly, a lot of people are saying this isn't about race. It's about zero tolerance.
For clocks.
Yeah.
If that was a white kid who brought that in, I promise you this would have not happened.
Dude, I have brought in so much worse stuff into school. I mean, listen, I was a tinker my entire life. I've been building shit my entire life. When I was that age, I was building.
But, I mean, to be fair, it's a different age now than when you and I went to school.
First of all, it was a different age when you went to school than when I went to school.
Sure, way different.
Things are different in the 1920s, dude.
In high school, I made a joke about coming to school and shooting up my classmates.
Oh, yeah.
And back then, you could make that joke and it was funny.
You could do it.
Because you only had muskets, so yeah. You could only get one guy.
Bring a bunch of muskets, load them all up.
Oh, dude, at his age, I was setting off explosives remotely. I was building devices to set off explosives remotely. I built a flamethrower at that point. We had a bunch of cool shit, and I would bring half of it to school. And nobody would get – I was as white as can be, and I was fine. And you know why? Because they're like, oh, that's the smart kid who's building stuff. We should support him. Because he's white.
And he's as white as the day is long, so I love it.
Yeah, and so nobody had a fucking problem with
it.
Well,
you know, one guy tried to tell me, you don't know anything about zero tolerance. And my response was this, is that zero tolerance first came into the public eye in 1999 in a landmark case of Huntsman versus the Newport Mesa Unified School District, which was tried by an attorney named David William Shores, who actually brought it into the limelight, in which case the terms for weapon replica was defined. And in this case, a teacher would have to absolutely use their imagination, as opposed to a squirt gun where the replica is very clear cut, or aspirin, which is, you know, defined as a drug. Now, these are all horrible things that someone should not be arrested or expelled for. Right. However, in the case of something that looked like broken laptop parts with a clock on the end of it, someone would have to use their fucking imagination and have to put two and two together, which involves Mohammed Ahmed.
Right.
Ahmed.
I want to make a meme. Picture Ryan Shores that says on top, can defend you in court of law, on the bottom, can't make a meme.
There you go.
Yeah, it's always what's angering isn't just the racism or the overall stupidity. Like, obviously there is a racist element to it, or at least a culturalist element to it. But the stupidity of taking somebody who is clearly not a threat and wasting everybody's fucking time.
And they're saying, and a lot of people are saying, like, wouldn't you want to be safe? Wouldn't you want to be safe if it was your kid in that school? Why didn't they fucking evacuate it? We're going to arrest them, but let's leave that what could be a bomb there.
And the cops have admitted we knew it wasn't a bomb.
Right.
We knew there was no threat.
Our hands were tied. No, his hands were tied. Right. Handcuffed him.
Yeah, so they basically were coming down with, we believe he made this as a hoax bomb.
Right.
And they arrested, like, what the fuck?
And he already stated his purpose with the thing before. Like, it'd be one thing if they found it in his backpack and he was like, no, it was supposed to be for a project. But before this ever happened, he went, look, this is a clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I brought it. I'm not hiding it. I made it for you. Bomb.
Yeah. it is a infuriating, silly thing. It's more infuriating when people defend it, like you said, those other websites, those other things. I thought the hubris of the police was just ridiculous when they came out the next day and they're we knew it wasn't a bomb. Yeah, we arrested him, and yeah, he should never do it again. And you're like, never do what, you asshole?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, to Shores' point, like, they showed the picture of it.
Yeah.
Where's the explosive element? Just because there's a couple of wires?
Right. And by the
way, I've seen Lethal Weapon 2 enough times.
You know what actual bombs don't have? A ticking fucking clock going down. It's not MacGyver.
Unless you're a 60s James Bond villain.
Yeah. No. Again, as somebody who made a lot of portable bombs, they are essentially are just a piece of explosives with a transmitter on the end of it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Why would you want to give someone a countdown?
Yeah.
I can't wait till this kid's family just sues the shit out of that school.
Oh, I'm psyched about it. Yeah.
There was a picture of him, like, apparently Microsoft.
Out of the cops, too.
Microsoft and Apple sent him a bunch of products, and he was like, cool. And you can see his face, like, this is nothing compared to what I'm about to get.
Oh, yeah.
My ticket has
Microsoft,
come in.
Microsoft, they'll be sending you some stuff. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'll take care of Windows 10 for you.
And I just would love to do a scan of all the conservative news sites and see how many times the word Sharia came up in reference to this story.
Explain that. I don't know what Sharia is.
Sharia law is what the conservatives are super afraid about, which is a type of Islamic law that states that the state must follow these Islamic principles, which is always funny. They're ranting, raving, Sharia law is coming. Sharia's law is coming.
But their doing entire the same point thing with
is
Christianity.
To use their own religion's laws in the secular government.
I support Krim Davis for disobeying our law to obey my God. By the way, we're in danger of becoming a religious society, everyone. Bobby, let me change gears to something that you always like to talk about, is mm-hmm. science.
But do love science.
Now, you also have a podcast. Just fucking do it.
www.thesciencefaction.com.
Fantastic. So you're a student of all sciences.
I
now,
am.
You're an archaeologist by trade.
Yes.
But where do you get your fascination from the rest of the sciences you love?
I've always loved science since I was a kid. I was a very geeky kid, as I explained.
Don't hit the table. Jesus.
Sorry. And I have my undergrad degrees in archaeology and psychology, and my graduate degrees are just in science education in general.
Okay, cool. Now, let me ask you something, because I've always wondered this. And I got to mention that a guy I know, Ken Reed, a comic out of Boston, he does a very funny podcast I listen to every week called TV Guidance Counselor. He mentioned this. I already had it written down to ask you, but he beat me to it, but I'll plug his podcast. And sorry, I'm doing it too. But you know those surveys or those facts, quote unquote, where it's like, you know, humans swallow 8 spiders a year.
Sure.
What science is responsible for these studies?
I actually go for 11. I'm trying to be an overachiever.
And how could any test possibly know right. that? Like, do you watch someone sleep for a year? And again, how much of a dick is that scientist? He just sees a spider crawling in someone's mouth like, well, that's one. Check it off. And hope
that's the most exciting part of the night for him. He's just sitting there waiting most of the time.
By the way, I hope it's not poisonous. I wouldn't know. That's really not my field.
Yeah,
I'm more of
that's not my job.
I would say sleep scientist, but I don't know what even apnea means.
Maybe he goes Minority Report and stops the spider, but it's like the spider was going to go in there, so I'll count it.
So are those surveys legit or are they fucking lies?
Some. So some of those studies are based on good facts. Like,
if you're sleeping outdoors?
No. Like, so talking about that, so that would range wildly, right? So you're going to try and take an average. You're going to take an average of people who live in different climates, different environments, some with a whole bunch of spiders, some without it. That would be hard to do. In my mind, if you were trying to design an experiment for that, you could do a sleep study. You could literally sit there with cameras watching somebody and count
it. How dirty is this lab? Are you releasing spiders?
Well, you do it in their own house. You'd have to do it in their own house to make it work. Another one you could do.
But how do you monitor? Like, okay, cameras.
Right. And then you would do a statistical sampling. So if you did it for 4 months, you would multiply by 3 to get the year average and that kind of thing. Most of those do kind of seem to be a little bit more along the lines of very questionable research, though. It varies from thing to thing. You'd be surprised how many are very solidly balanced, but some of those are probably some BS.
Okay.
I can see Bobby now angling for the, quote, comic scientist angle, and his next year he's going to be like, you know, most humans swallow 8 spiders a year, but they spit 7.
I am a science comedian, by the way. You should look at my website.
What's your website? I would never do that.
RobertTimothyComedy.com.
Touche. So now let me ask you, I know that you found lie detectors to also be pseudoscience.
Yes.
What are some of the sciences that you find to be pseudoscience that really piss you off, like pet peeves?
Lie detectors are a big one. Lie detectors are almost complete bullshit. They basically want you to get so stressed out that your stress trips the lie detector out because you're lying about something.
I don't know if I believe you. The needle's off the charts right now.
Yeah. So don't buy into lie detectors. That stuff's bullshit. Jeez.
Every time I hear lie detector, I just imagine some guy at a police station with like a dustbuster, like going beep with his mouth, beep, 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 found a lie.
I mean,
you're a fibber.
There's the obvious ones that just go against all science, any kind of like
vaccine, when I hear the word pseudoscience, I think chemtrails.
Yeah, there's chemtrails, there's vaccine autism. There's also things that you wouldn't think of.
What are chemtrails?
Chemtrails are a crazy idea that planes are just squirting like certain poisonous gases as they drive by because they don't understand condensation. But
they're spraying poison in the sky to trickle down here for us to ingest.
Yeah, I mean, huge range of nuttiness. There are people, one of which was on a very prominent person on the San Diego Comedians page, who believe that the world is flat, and that's a huge conspiracy.
Oh my god, I was just reading about that. That's my favorite one, the Flat Earth Society.
Yeah,
they think the UN flag is like a view of the planet from the top.
Yeah,
and they think that's what the planet actually looks like. That the North Pole is the center, mm-hmm. the planet is flat, and the South Pole is a wall of ice around the edge that holds all the water in.
Yep,
they legit believe that. They think the moon is a hologram.
Yeah.
Space stations are holograms.
Now, how are these people in relation to the Neptune Society, which is to toss your dead body into ocean when you can't afford a funeral service?
They're all nuts. They're Bobby, all nuts.
What's the drive behind the Flat Earth Society? Like, what's
schizophrenia?
No. Like, what do they think? Because all these conspiracies think that there's some nefarious end to it. What's the plot behind pretending the world is round?
There's literally some schizotypic thinking. So there's a chemical imbalance. No logical, rational, reasonable.
No, but they have to have some kind of like, oh, someone's
No.
Keeping someone's making money off this.
I mean, and there'll be a thousand. There'll be, oh, the New World Order, there's this. But there's interesting things that aren't necessarily pseudoscience that most people don't realize. Like, there are things that scientifically are actually shown to not work, like flossing. This is a really weird one. I get food in my teeth all the time. Like, you think, ah, flossing.
Dr. Aaron DDS is fucking losing his mind right now.
Tell him to look up the studies. Tell anyone to.
The dentist has never taken a look at any of the brochures.
Yes. Well,
I'm sure he's taking a peek at some of the studies.
We'll see. If so, he would already know this.
He also recommends dentine, so
this is what's weird, because I know personally I get food in my teeth all the time. I floss, it comes out, so you would think it's really
food
effective.
Or is the spiders you swallow?
So occasionally there's spiders. So if you floss, you pull everything out, it would make sense that would work. But every study shows that if control group, which is non-flossing, versus flossing, there is no difference whatsoever. And in terms of cavities, there's a little bit in gingivitis. And to boost that one further, if you were to take the 30 seconds you would spend flossing and spend that extra time brushing, you get a huge bump. So in fact, if you cut flossing out and just brush, you'll get less cavities.
Now, here's the thing with these scientific studies.
Yeah.
They, as studies go on, there's been so many issues where they contradict themselves. Like later, like there was a study where, like, coffee is so good for you, and then a few years later, coffee's bad for you.
And this is the problem. This is media reporting of it. So there will be studies that'll show.
Oh, sure, blame the media.
Yeah. So there's studies that'll show something
here.
Like, oh, coffee has these type of antioxidants that are good for you. They're good in this amount, blah, blah. But then there'll be another study that shows, well, on top of that, excess caffeine use can cause problems. That doesn't mean those are contradictory. That's saying there are some good elements to it and there's some bad
elements. I suppose you can blame the media for the Mozart effect.
Yes, I am, because that is complete bullshit. You do not get smarter if you listen to Mozart.
I got a funny story about talking to a conspiracy theorist. I was interviewed on – it was called Punk Whatever Radio. It was an internet radio station. And it was it records out of South Bay. And the lady interviewing me, it was her show, but it's an internet show, so obviously it's not professionally done. Like, it's in her house, in her garage more specifically. And she got so wasted during the interview that she couldn't even fucking, like, continue the show. So she's like, thanks for the callers. And like, at this point, I'm like, I don't even want to be on this show anymore. So this guy calls in. He's like, all right, I just wanted to talk real quick to Ryan about, you know, the conspiracies that are going on. I'm like, oh, Jesus. And then she's sitting there rocking back and forth about to vomit. And so I'm like, all right, what, dude? And the whole time I'm looking for, like, the hang up button, because, like, she's wasted. I'm now running this fucking janky ass show.
Ryan calls in himself and asks her, can I leave now?
So anyway, as he's talking, one of his conspiracies were, dude, Cool Whip is poisoning all of us by putting in chemicals meant to kill us at an early age. And I was like, well, what's the benefit there? Who benefits from that? And he's like, his response, dude, follow the money, man. Just follow the money. I'm like, no. I'm trying to and can't. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to present this, you're the one that needs to fucking follow the money and tell me where it's
going.
Would
Cool Whip want their consumers to live to 90 and continue to buy Cool Whip?
And so he just kept going, follow the money. And I kept breaking his argument apart, and he just kept repeating, follow the money, man. So finally I found the hang-up button. I'm like, okay, Brent, is it? Yeah, don't call the show. I just hung up on him. And so the rest of the night, I look over, she's passed out. So now I have control of her airwaves. So I start taking calls. I'm like, yeah, whatever radio, you're a fucking idiot. Because I was mad. That's why they're like, hey, man, it wasn't cool. Just cut them off. Like, yeah, cut that bitch off. And who else we got? And I just went for the rest of the hour. And I'm like, all right, this has been Ryan with Punk Whatever Radio. And I fucking hate you all.
Dude, my favorite thing, I used to have a phone job, phone sales, where people would call me. And my favorite thing to do on phone calls, like shit like that, where you're like, I don't give a shit about any of this, is let them get into a rant. And then while they're mid-rant, be like, hello? Because they think they cut out. It totally derails them, and they have to figure out where you lost them.
Yeah.
It's just the best.
Well, you know, people would – oh, I used to hate this. I was an online advisor for an online college, and my students I'd all talk to on the phone. It wasn't University of Phoenix. It was a school just like that. So, you know, the thing is I would have to tell them, like, these long welcome calls where I'd be like, okay, now that you've enrolled, you have to make sure that you put your books before every class. Classes are 5 weeks. You need to log in twice. Otherwise, that won't log your attendance. That'll kick you out if you miss 2 weeks. And I'd go on like that for about, 10 minutes. And at the end, do what now? I would fly into a blind rage. I'm like, what part? All of it? None of it. Also, when I had to work phone sales, now those are the jobs you really don't care about. And I always thought about this. Anyone that's been a telemarketer can relate to me on this. Is number one, when you like cuss out a telemarketer, that guy's not doing this in his free time for fun. Like, right. I know I'm bothering you, but like, you understand, I couldn't get a better job. Like, I'm really just trying to make rent right now. You don't have to call me a piece of shit.
By the way, that is the same excuse as the guy who steals your stereo, so.
No, it's not. This is legitimate.
I couldn't get a better job.
So here's number one. Number two, I like how so many people blindly cuss at a man that called them. Listen to this. Whoever sold that telemarketer your number also gave him your address, your social security number I've had. Like, all the information that – and by the way, a telemarketer, they don't screen very well for those jobs.
Right.
Like, this guy could be – I have worked as a telemarketer with people who literally were convicted felons who just got out. Like it was my first job in college. It was fundraising, which is why I don't, like, give to fundraisers anymore, because I found out only 10% goes to the actual organization. But anyway, like, some guy would be sitting next to me like, yeah, I just got this job. Just got out 2 days ago. Already got a job, man. That's great. You know, I'm only doing speed, like, once or twice a week now. Yeah, I need a little pick me up for this, of course. But, you know, I'm like, oh, man. And people would cuss them out and they'd be like, fuck you. And they'd look up their address. I'm sure they never went there because you're calling people in Kentucky and we're in California. But still, a possibly unhinged, disturbed gentleman is looking at the screen with all your information. You sure you want to call him a piece of shit? Is that wise? So. Yeah, but I would like to fuck with people too. I like sometimes they'd try and mess with me by I'd be like, "Hi, this is Ryan calling for," and they'd put their like 2-year-old on the phone, and I could hear them laughing in the background, or like it would be their 4-year-old, and I'd be like, "Hey, guess what? This is Santa Claus, and you're not getting fucking anything this year. Nothing." And they'd start crying, and I'd hang up, and they didn't bother to find out what company I was from, so they couldn't call back and complain. They didn't know what person they were speaking with. I would do that shit all the time.
Turn around and punch your dad in the balls right now.
Unless you don't want the tooth. You want to get on the tooth fairy shit list too? I'll make it happen. I'm Santa Claus. No one says no to me. Dave, did you have any like stories when you were on the phone that just stick with you?
No, I mean, it was a long time ago, so nothing specific, but all the same shit you're talking about. Like, why are you going to be rude to someone that has all your information? It sort of relates. I've been in the service industry forever.
Sure.
It's kind of the same thing. Like, why are you going to fuck with a server when they're going to be alone with your food? And they're going to have your credit card. You know what I mean? Just all kinds of shit.
Have you ever been at the table? You're not being rude, but someone in your party is. And like, you have like no control of them. And I, like you, have worked in the service industry too. I've been a bartender. I've been a waiter. And like, so when, and so I make a special effort to be like, oh, thank you so much, you know? And you can tell when someone else has been in the service industry by how they treat you.
Yeah.
And you know, there are perks that come along with that. You know, sometimes they hook you up with a little extra alcohol in your drink. You know, your food comes out a little quicker when you're nice. But just recently I was out to dinner with one of my girlfriend's friends who I'd never met before. And we both ordered, it got to her. Okay, first of all, it doesn't say on your whole fucking menu what lettuce is in the salad. What lettuce is in the salad? Oh, we have iceberg and
I'd be like the green stuff.
Yeah. They're like, I believe iceberg. She's like, okay, well, I will not be having that bullshit. And like the whole time I'm like, no.
Oh, man. I know somebody like this. I consider it like a character defect in the inability to be kind to customer service and wait staff and stuff. Like that's a huge character defect, not just for you. Okay, so you've made your choice that you enjoy semen in your food. Fine.
Yeah.
We understand that.
Yeah.
We're sitting at the same table as you, asshole. We're lumped in with you.
No. Let me stop you right there. People that have never worked in the service industry don't realize that it happens. I mean, they can see as many Dateline specials they want about people fucking with food. In their minds, it's a myth, and they're a prince or princess.
Or it's someone else. It's like, that doesn't happen to my shit.
No, yeah. So they don't think that's actually going to happen to them.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, they would never. But yeah, being embarrassed by someone else in your party, that's the worst, because you feel so powerless. And they look at you like, what the... Because you were just previously nice to them, and you have to like communicate with your eyes like, I have no control over the things coming out of their mouth. That's amazing.
And what's your end game? Like, what is your end game to be a dick to this person?
Well,
chemtrails, bro.
Follow the money.
Like, in my mind, I'm always like, do you have some kind of scam where you're planning on getting like a free meal or something? Like, what is your goal?
No, yeah. I think it is all 100% entitlement. It is. There is no goal. It is, you are happy to serve me. I'll give you another example of this person. Like, I think there are a large amount of people out there that think of people in the service industry or in retail or any other job. Like, we used to think of our teachers in second grade or first grade. Like, that's the teacher. She lives at school. Like, this is what she loves to do. She goes home and she just thinks about school things until she comes back. And, you know, so I do think there are some grown adults that are like, that's CVS man. He lives at CVS.
CVS man.
When the lights go out, he just goes back to his hut.
He's like the refrigerator. I go out, the lights turn off when I close the door.
He goes, exactly. He goes back to his hut of paper towel rolls that he's constructed back there, and he eagerly waits my return. So there are people, like I used to work in retail too, and I would love this guy, which is I would have to work closing shift a lot. And when that happens, when you lock the door, you don't immediately go home. There's some other shit to do. Sweep up. You fucking do whatever. And there would always be the guy that would walk up very, very confused, because when I see an off, like a closed sign or a sign's off and the lights are out, I immediately don't have any questions. I know what's going on. These people are very confused, though. They walk up.
Why is the door locked?
They can tell something. They haven't gotten there yet. they can tell something's off, but they don't know what, and they tug on the door, and the shock that runs through their face. So then they do this thing. They put up their hands on their hips, and they look up at the sign, and then they look at the hours. Closes at 9. Check their watch. 9:15. What they do? They pull the fucking handle again.
Just in case.
And then the worst part is they see you through the glass, and that's when you hear that thing you don't want to hear. They fucking start knocking on the goddamn window and start shouting what they want through the glass. Because hey, you're Party City, man. You live at Party City, and you're glad I'm here.
It's so crazy. I had a friend do this actually rather recently, and he's notorious for doing this. Sometimes we're like, he's a nice guy, but when it comes to wait staff, he's just a dick. We went out to go get some drinks. He was a huge dick to the person who was our waitress. And as the waitress left, I actually did the excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom. I went and I caught her, and I was like, hey, just so you know, his wife just died and he's in a really bad place, which is a total lie. But I thought at least our shit wouldn't have semen in it when it came back.
It was a good use of a lie.
Yeah.
Strategic defense.
Yeah.
See, now one of the nice things about being a bartender, especially at a comedy club here at Madhouse Comedy Club, where we record all our podcasts in beautiful downtown Horton Plaza.
Thank you.
Is I can be kind of a dick to people a little bit more than you can if you're a server somewhere else.
I've noticed.
Oh, yeah. Like when I'm by myself in between shows and I'm serving the patio outside, people waiting to come in for the second show, and it's like a half circle bar, so people come up slowly, and I just start going around in a circle. I get to the end, I go back to the front, you know, because it's like I have to have some order in how I do it.
Yeah.
But then people are like, oh, I was next. Oh, hey, I'm ready. Oh, hey, can I, like, yelling for me? Yeah. The other night I had to stop. I had to like yell the whole crowd. I'm like, hey, I got a whole bar with full of people going on here. I'll get to you when I get to you. And they're just like, oh, and it kind of calms them down. You know, they're like,
right.
How come you turned into like a 1930s newsie when you did that?
Is that what that is?
Well,
maybe it's the hat. But I get to call people out too, which is fun. Because like I was making two martinis for this guy and his girlfriend. The girl's like, I'll have this. The guy's like, I'll have that too. And so I'm making them. And I'm just inside the door. Doors
what,
open.
You on your period?
Where they can see me. And so the guy yells. He's like, hey. And I look. He's like, can you put mine in a different glass? There's guys that go to bars who are concerned about the glass they get. That's a thing.
Wow.
So I turn and yell back to him. I'm like, bro, are you fucking kidding me? And his girl laughs. I'm like, are you concerned about your sexuality? It's not the glass that people are going to think you're a girl. It's the drink you're ordering. And like his girl's laughing. People are laughing. And he's just kind of sheepish. Like, well, I just want a different glass. So I fucking give it to – and the girl tipped me $6.
Nice.
Like 20%.
Put him in his fucking place.
Yeah. You get to knock the guy down a peg and you make a few bucks.
I do hate this though. With a martini, you know what you're getting into. But I hate when I'm at some like specialty beer bar and I'm like, oh, that one looks good. And I find out when they bring it, it comes in some weird wine goblet that looks like, you know, like, it looks like I'm one of the Sex and the City girls. I'm like, can I just have a big boy pint? I didn't know it came in this schooner.
And then I come back around to the waiter and I go, his wife just died.
Yeah, he was going off before he got here about Cool Whip and chemtrails.
Follow the money.
Going back to the door knockers, though, seriously, my the ones I would hate equally as much is the one that would try to play lawyer ball with you if they got there right at the last minute. Like, you know,
I was in the parking lot by 8:59, so technically that should count.
Yeah, so you lock the door, and they start knocking, and they start trying to show you their watch through the door. Like, hey, dickhead, I've checked my watch every 5 minutes since I got here this morning. I know exactly what time it is, and it's time to fucking leave.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to make a special exception for you so you can go around. And they're always they always take the fucking most time. Those stragglers like, what's that? It's Pepsi, man. You seriously don't know? What's that? It's Coke. You know, are you gonna get something? Is that some sort of orange soda? Son of a bitch!
Because he's like, oh, I didn't even really want anything.
And that is how Ryan's last comedy feud started.
That's true. All right. Well, I'm Ryan Shores for Dave Callens and Robert Timothy saying thanks for listening and cruising with the twos. We'll see you next week.
Motherfucking time is passing by.
This has been a Point and Yell production. Yeah, I think the words, but sometimes they don't come out of my mouth no good.